This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Stardom, Sit'em, Week 5. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Kyle Yates and Andrew Erickson. And, of course, it is you. And it's time to start him and sit him. That's right. Who are the players who are in the lineups? Who are the players not making the cut that are going to ride the pine? We're going to tell you all of that, plus some breaking news that we got to discuss that's going to have perhaps an impact on a lot of fantasy shares of a lot of players the rest of the season. But before we do, I want to remind everybody once again, make sure you're following us on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros. And of course, hit that little notifications button when you do. Gentlemen, big news. Yates, I got to start with you with this news because Justin Fields looks like he is going to be the quarterback the rest of the season for the Chicago Bears. And we had both circled the Detroit Lions game as that first game he was going to start. That was not the case. He had to start a week before. I bet he wishes he hadn't, but here we go. Rest of season. It's about time. And this was the foregone conclusion. The question is, Yates, what does that impact now in terms of fantasy for the rest of the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, so obviously with Justin Fields, the concern now has been that he's only thrown the ball 37 times over the past two games. So it's not leading to a ton of fantasy production for the other receiving options here. But you had that crazy fluke game against Cleveland where they literally just could not move the ball on offense whatsoever due to the play calling. And then last week they were up big against Detroit. So you just lean into the run game. So I think moving forward, we're going to see those pass attempts tick up here. And now when you have Justin Fields, who is willing to push the ball deep downfield, he had a 22% big time throw rate, according to PFF this past week. The next highest was 15% across the NFL. So he is willing to push the ball deep downfield. I think Darnell Mooney is going to thrive because of it. But then I do think that I talked about this on the rest of the season show yesterday, saying that I think we're going to start to see Allen Robinson start to rise back up. Maybe not to the level where we drafted him. That would be great. But I think we are going to see him at least finish higher than maybe the wide receiver 61 where he is through the first 4 weeks. So this is good news for the Bears receiving options because Justin Fields ultimately gives them the best chance to win. It's exciting that Matt Nagy, maybe coming from above him, finally realized that that is the case.
Speaking of big time and PFF, Andrew Erickson, let's get your take on this. See what I did there? Very slick. Andrew, are you as excited about this move as Yates is? Probably impossible, but are you at least excited for maybe the return of value for Allen Robinson with this news? And does Darnell Mooney continue to build on last week's encouraging performance?
Yeah, I think that Kyle hit the nail on the head talking about Justin Fields and his arm talent, ability to throw the ball down the field, something they weren't really doing with Andy Dalton under center. I still have some concerns about just the general passing volume of the Bears offense, and honestly just like the Bears offense as a whole. It's just, even with Fields the last 2 weeks, it has not looked like a cohesive unit that really has an identity. So them establishing Justin Fields as the quarterback, I hope, means that, okay, that they're going to start building even more around him, you know, get some more design rushes for Justin Fields, because, you know, he looked a lot better against the Lions, but he still hasn't put up fantasy production yet. And for 2 weeks straight, he has not been able to be a fantasy viable option at the quarterback position. So I want to see that play out. And I think obviously we'll start to see that with more games to play with Justin Fields. But, you know, Allen Robinson, I'm still, you know, not ready to buy back in. I need to see him get targets from Justin Fields. I see this offense operate throwing the football, you know, at a average level, which we have not seen yet. Again, they've thrown the least amount of pass attempts over the past 2 weeks. I know the game script has been a little fluky, but in terms of passes over expectation, they've been the worst. You know, it's been in the negatives. You know, they really haven't been in positions to throw the ball a ton, and that's what Robinson's MO has been his entire career, basically been this volume monster, and that has not been the case. I mean, he's less targets than Darnell Mooney over the last 2 weeks, the two games that Fields has started. So, And on the season, Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson are tied with target share, air yard share. It's the exact same thing. So look, we have a brand new quarterback under center. I don't know if we can just attach ourselves to this Allen Robinson, where he's been the alpha, the clear number wide receiver one on this Bears offense, when Mooney looks really, really freaking good. Mm-hmm. Like, I rewatched that game from last week, and Mooney was making highlight reel after highlight reel catch. I'm like, yeah, no wonder Allen Robinson's not getting any targets, because Darnell Mooney is a friggin' monster, and he's a beast. And we were really hyped out about Darnell Mooney. I know Yates liked him a lot. I know I liked him.
Me too. And 3 for 3.
It's, again, those targets have to come from somewhere. And mm-hmm. I guess we just didn't kind of think, oh, well, what if he actually eats into Allen Robinson? Because you don't think it'll happen until it really does. And I think they're starting to see that play out. So I think it's actually a better boost for Mooney, who's used more as the vertical threat, like we saw against the Lions. But I mean, for Allen Robinson to play an entire game against the Detroit Lions, like the worst defense in the NFL, and not really come away with any fantasy production, I'm still lukewarm about him, even in a matchup against the Raiders that I'm sure we'll get into on the show.
Fair enough. So Justin Fields will be the starter. And when it comes to starting and sitting, you're going to need the assistant we have over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. The start sit assistant gives you instant recommendation on your team's best lineups for the week. You can see the percentage of experts who would start each player on your roster, and you can edit and set your lineup straight from My Playbook, which is super easy and very efficient, which I love, especially if you got a ton of different teams like I do. That's why My Playbook comes into play for you. You can also view and change your lineups in all of your leagues in this one tool, and that's what's so great about it. And you get instant email if your lineup changes before kickoff. Also, speaking of changes, changes happen sometimes when you're not available to make a change, and that's why you need Autopilot, which is also part of My Playbook. Head over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook and start to use that Autopilot function as well. It's an easy way to manage your lineup and save time, especially if you're in a lot of leagues or if you can't be there for those inactive decisions that pop up every single week, it seems like now. It'll automatically set your optimal lineup every week and automatically make any changes if you need to. So make sure you use those features and use My Playbook whenever you get a chance. Again, at fantasypros.com. Gentlemen, let's start with the start'em and the sit'em, and let's start with the running backs before we get into the guys on the fringe, the guys on the bubble. Let's talk about the ones at the top. Let's go through the top 20 and see if there's somebody that we're a little concerned about this week. Yates, let's start with you. Is there anybody in the top 20 that you're fading this week at the running back position? Maybe not taking out, but at least concerned about their productivity.
Right, and I'm glad that you gave that qualification, because for a running back who is currently ranked inside the top 20 in ECR over at fantasypros.com, for them to fall outside my top 20 rankings, they have to just completely, like, not play, like, just based on the running back position. So, guys, I'm going to talk about Najee Harris. I have Najee Harris a few spots lower than ECR currently, and I have a super in-depth stat here that I want to dive into, really elaborate here. The first bullet point about why I'm talking about Najee Harris as a fade is the offense sucks. I don't want pieces of this Pittsburgh Steelers offense, okay? And I understand that Najee Harris is getting a ton of volume, and I'm a little bit tongue-in-cheek in saying this with the offense sucks here with Najee Harris, but it really comes down to the matchup against Denver is absolutely brutal for opposing running backs so far this year. Denver is allowing just 15.5 rush attempts per game, 50.5 rushing yards, and 0.2 touchdowns per game on average to the running back position. They're also, this is the key part here, they're also just allowing 2.5 receptions, 11.2 receiving yards, and 0 touchdowns per game on average to the running back position as well, which is where Najee Harris has made the majority of his fantasy value. So they are only allowing additionally 5.5 fantasy points per game. So this really comes down to the question of what gives. Is it going to be the Denver Broncos defense that gives, or is it going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers offense? For me, I'm putting my money on the Pittsburgh Steelers offense not being as effective this week in this matchup here for the running back. So if that is the case, I've got Najee Harris. I think he's at 11 currently, RB 11 in ECR. I've got him at RB 15 on the week. So not completely fading, but definitely concerned heading into this week.
You make a great point too. The 20s getting thin there. I kind of cheated on my answer too, but before I give mine, I want to get Andrew's. Who's the guy in the top 20 for you at running back that you're a little concerned about going into week five, Andrew?
I think it's the same guy I talked about last week, and he delivered by not being great. It was Chris Carson for the Seattle Seahawks. He's banged up again. Last week he was dealing with a hamstring injury. Now he's dealing with a neck injury. The latest update I've gotten is that it's not a big deal, so he should be fine to play on Thursday night. But again, last week we saw him in a timeshare with Alex Collins. You know, not something that we were expecting going into the year. We thought Chris Carson was going to be the guy, and really he hasn't been that. He's been kind of splitting time with whatever Seattle backup running back they've had available. At times it's been Rashad Penny, and last week it was Alex Collins. So got concerns about, you know, what his work volume is going to be against PFF's second highest graded run defense, the Los Angeles Rams, and Aaron Donald. It's not in. Look at last week, Chris Carson was playing the 49ers, what looked like a soft matchup for running backs, and he didn't fire in that specific matchup. So just looking at his overall usage, his lack of work in the passing game, he ranks 33rd in expected fantasy points per game, 10.6, and that's just saying a lot for a guy that we kind of view as a, you know, RB2 locked and loaded player, even like a fringe, like low RB1, and he's not really putting up those types of numbers. So if, you know, if I have Chris Carson, I'm trying to, you know, float him in trade offers just to kind of see what I can get back, because I think that the perception of him is higher than what he's actually done on the field and what his production has actually been. So I got some concerns about him heading into Thursday night.
He was actually a guy I was going to pick, but then you stole him from me. So ironically, I'm going to go back to the guy that I picked last week as well and stay with the theme, because it's Miles Sanders. And as Andrew said, he was right last week, and we were right about Miles Sanders as well. I had concerns of that matchup, and they all came true. Every single one of those concerns, people thought, oh, it's going to be a bounce back. Well, it didn't bounce, at least not back. If you look in the last 3 weeks too, 6 points, 7 points, 6 points, and half PPR last 3 weeks for Miles Sanders. He hasn't finished better than running back 37 over that time. He had just 7 carries for 13 yards in that game. And look, Carolina's coming off a tough matchup there with the Dallas Cowboys. I think this is a situation here where that defense gets back on track at home, and I just don't like this situation here. And you know what? Kenneth Gainwell looks really good in the passing game, so why necessarily is Miles Sanders going to work a lot in that? I just think this is a bad situation. I don't think it's going to get better. I think Mike Davis is an honorable mention, too, in this. 13 carries for 14 yards last week. Forget the touchdown. If he doesn't get the touchdown, he's the guy we're all complaining about this week for sure. Maybe he's not in the top 20, but that's another guy that you drafted as a top 20 running back at the very least. But running back is very thin, as Yates was pointing out. Let's get to some of the other guys on the fringe now. Let's talk about the favorite guys who start and sit. Here are some of the guys outside of that top 25, starting with Miles Sanders. We just talked about Zach Moss, Latavius Murray, Mike Davis, Trey Sermon, Melvin Gordon. Andrew, I'll start with you on this one. When you look at these names here, is there anybody intriguing to you that you'd want to start this week of those names?
Hot waiver wire pickup, Damian Williams for the aforementioned Chicago Bears. I'm sure that we're going to talk about the Bears a lot here today, so he's going to be the guy. Everything that looks like, he's already had a role with David Montgomery when David Montgomery was healthy in the offense. We saw him play 33% of the snaps before Montgomery went down, and then after Montgomery's injury, he played basically every single snap outside the team's final drive when we saw Khalil Herbert get some action. So we've seen Damian Williams be a productive running back, you know, at many a times, whether it was at the Chiefs, whether it's wherever he's been productive, especially because he's been used in the passing game. That's something that we saw Montgomery obviously benefit from a ton last year when he had his stretch, you know, during like the final 6 weeks of the season. He was a monster for fantasy because he was garnering all the receiving work because there was no Tariq Cohen. So Damian Williams getting the lion's share of touches in this Justin Fields offense, I like a lot. You know, Damian Williams has been really good this year anyway. He's been efficient. PFF's 10th highest graded running back, 78.9 PFF rushing grade. And I love the matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, they have allowed the second highest explosive run rate and third highest passer rating on targets to the running back position. So I think that if you were lucky enough to land Damian Williams, or as I like to call him, D. Willie, you got D. Willie off the waiver wire, then you can slide him right into your starting lineup and feel good about it.
All right. So I'm not going to even repeat that. I'm not going to go there. Let's ask you about Leonard Fournette, because I know you had some feelings about him as well. You saw some more usage out of him lately, and I think Tampa's realizing that they've got to get a little less one-dimensional in terms of their offense. Same thing as the Chiefs, I think, had to come to grips with in the last few weeks as well. Do you think Fournette all of a sudden becomes a guy you could start?
100%. You know, we saw an 82% snap share last week, which was basically like the highest we've seen from one Tampa Bay running back since Leonard Fournette was the main guy during the Buccaneers playoff run last year. You know, he ran a route on 81% of Tom Brady's dropbacks. He had 23 touches. Of course, Ronald Jordan scores the touchdown. So Leonard Fournette's game isn't nearly as, you know, exciting to talk about when they face the Patriots, but everything else was there. The receiving work was there, the rushing attempts, the snaps, and now he gets a much more favorable matchup against Miami Dolphins, third most fantasy points led running backs this season. Jonathan Taylor had a nice bounce back game after kind of starting out the gates sluggish against Miami. So I expect, you know, especially if Giovanni Bernard, as long as he's out, like, you can have a lot of confidence that Fournette is going to be the guy. Again, they'll work in Ronald Jones as a change of pace back, but I don't anticipate him always earning all those goal line touches, just happening to score. So I like Fournette.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Med Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense against the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Med Care Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS no matter where you are in the game of life. An Air Med Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. Yates, before we get into some of those other names, I want to ask you specifically about Cordarrelle Patterson, who exploded last week on my bench, but I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all about that, especially in my most important expert, quote-unquote, league, especially when I had him in and then took him out for Will Fuller. It's fine. Everything's fine. I did want to ask you about Patterson, though, because I think, like a lot of people, you know, out there like myself, will look at that and say, all right, now, do I go and chase last week a little bit? And maybe it's not even last week. I mean, Patterson's had some moments so far this season. It's always a weird game, too, when you take teams and you put them in London. You don't know how the travel affects them. These are not very good football teams to begin with. So what about Patterson this week? Is that somebody that you would start or feel comfortable starting, especially if he qualifies at running back in a league? Because, my goodness, we're kind of looking for running backs. How do you feel about Patterson?
Patterson is super interesting because I talked about this on the Tuesday show, saying that with Cordarrelle Patterson and these games, these fluke performances that come up from time to time where a player has three touchdowns or whatever, we see it. We see it from time to time, and people are constantly like, oh man, I need to go chase that. But with Patterson, it's a little bit different because these are not coming on like scheme touches behind the line of scrimmage primarily. Like Patterson scored on a deep, like post route, on a shallow cross or a catch out of the backfield, and then like a beautiful contested catch in the end zone. So he's being used all over the field, and that is the difference maker here for Cordarrelle Patterson. I will say this: I have him currently at RB17 on the week, and I hate myself just because I like Cordarrelle Patterson. Ranking him where he is super concerning. I know that I had this feeling, like just gut feeling, that it's going to blow up in my face. But the way that he is being utilized in this offense definitely makes me, at least, and again, compared to the other options at the running back position currently and some of the tougher matchups that are there, I feel more confident in Cordarrelle Patterson and his guaranteed volume than I do with a lot of these other options, which is a crazy sentence to say.
Well, the consensus has him at 20. I have him in the high 20s, so we're not too far off. I mean, that puts him as a flex play. Yates, I want to get your thoughts on some of these other names, too. Let's start with Trey Sermon, Melvin Gordon, Samaje Perine, who we talked about earlier in the week, Jamal Williams, Javonte Williams, all the Williams. Any of these guys here for you? And please don't give any of these Williams a nickname the way Erickson did. I want to come back for my job tomorrow. But seriously, any of these guys here have some start or sit appeal to you when you're looking at them?
Trey Sermon's definitely in the conversation if Elijah Mitchell misses this next game, which we have no clarity on at the time of recording. We don't know if he's going to return to practice. We don't know what his status is for this upcoming game. But if Elijah Mitchell does miss, then Trey Sermon is handling a significant workload in this offense, and it's working. He's starting to kind of find his groove in the NFL. So I think that we can look his way as nothing more than a low-end RB2, high-end RB3. Otherwise, like Javonte Williams going up against Pittsburgh, that's still a tough run defense. I don't think that that's a matchup that I really want to look at, especially with Drew Lock at quarterback, most likely. I don't think that this offense is going to be moving the ball a ton. The other one there is Samaje Perine. And Samaje Perine with Joe Mixon, again, we don't have clarity yet, but it is looking like he is likely to miss this upcoming matchup. If he does miss, then Samaje Perine is going to be the guy that steps in as the main option on the ground. Now, I think that we will see Chris Evans operate in as the pass catching complement out of the backfield, but Samaje Perine is going to see 12 to 15 touches minimum this week. And if that's the case, then you got to put him into that top 24, you know, maybe even top 26 in that range, low end RB2, high end RB3 conversation, just based on volume alone. So yeah, I think that you definitely can be looking at either of those guys, but a lot of the ones that we've been talking about here are, you know, we got to get some clarity on injury statuses first before we can confidently say this is where you rank them.
Yeah, that is fair. And speaking of where you should rank them in the start sit tool, we have that available for you at Fantasy Pros. It's a fantastic tool. Who should I start? And it's also free at fantasypros.com/start. It's a player comparison tool. And a lot of the comparisons we use here when we bring up in this next segment here is where we get them directly from. So I'll start with you on this one, Andrew. Leave D. Willie out of this. And let's talk about Jamal Willie and Javonte Willie. Let's talk about the two J. Willies, if you will. Javonte Williams or Jamal Williams. Williams for Detroit going against Minnesota and Williams of Denver going at Pittsburgh. Would you start or sit, or who would you rather?
I'm going to go with Jamal Williams over Javonte Williams, and It's really more based on the matchup. Again, we have both running backs playing in platoons used in committees with, you know, another talented running back. So I think that there's a better chance of Jamal Williams in a better matchup against a weaker Minnesota Vikings defense. Again, he gets a lot of carries for the Detroit Lions. They like to use him. They don't use him as much as a receiver, like they use Swift, but you could see him finding his way into the end zone, whereas Javonte and Melvin Gordon, like, they're just so equally split 50-50. Like, every single week I'm trying to find like a stat or something that's pointing me into the direction of, okay, like Javonte, like, he's starting to like gain an edge on Melvin Gordon. It just goes back to 50-50 across the board. Like, everything is just split. And then you throw in that they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is the worst matchup you pretty much ask for that's not named Tampa Bay for running backs. And you could also then add the fact that Drew Lock might start in this game. Like, it's just a mess. You know, both guys are, I think, ranked ECR like RB30, RB31, because I think that's kind of where we're all just kind of like, well, you know, they're not going to get zeros, but they're not going to be good. So we got to put them, you know, right next to each other because of the way that their workload is in the terrible matchup. So I'm going to fade away from the Denver Broncos guys and I'll lean on Jamal.
Yates, are you in agreement? Because I kind of lean that way as well as Andrew, that Jamal is probably the better play over Javonte this week.
It's close, but we also don't have clarity on what Jamal Williams's role is week in and week out. Like, his carry volume has just been a roller coaster, and he went from 9 targets in week 1 down to like 3 the next week, 1, and then didn't get a target this past week. So Jamal Williams, I think, is one of these guys where I just don't know what his role is. I don't know what guaranteed volume, whereas with Javonte Williams, I at least know that he's going to see work, and I know that it's going to be even to Melvin Gordon. He doesn't have upside. But I don't know what I'm going to get with Jamal Williams. So I have Williams currently at 33. Jamal Williams at 33 on the week.
Don't cross your Williams. It's a dangerous thing, Yates.
Jamal Williams at 33 on the week. Javonte Williams at 30. And then and I've got Melvin Gordon all the way up at 26. But again, all these guys smashed together. I really don't want to play any of them. But I think it just depends on what you need. Do you need the safety? Then you go with Javonte. If you need the upside, then you can swing for the fences a little bit with Jamal Williams.
Yates, you're the grammar guy. What is the plural of Williams? Is it Williams? Or is it Williams I?
Williams I. Yeah, we'll
I'm
go
not
with...
sure. Let's play another round of who should I start. Zach Moss for Buffalo against Kansas City on the road, or Latavius Murray versus Indianapolis for the Baltimore Ravens. Yates, Latavius Murray or Zach Moss, who should I start?
I think with Zach Moss, we have seen him be the product. Like, his fantasy value over the past couple weeks has been the product of plus game script, right? Like, they have just been blowing out these teams, so they've been able to rely on him. So I'm not buying into that happening here up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, there is a very, like, this game could easily turn into a shootout, which could lead to, you know, scoring potential for Zach Moss that he falls into the end zone, but I don't want to rely on that just yet. Whereas with Latavius Murray, I'll say this. I think I know what his workload is going to be. I thought I knew what Tyson Williams' role was going to be, but that was not the case. So Latavius Murray, I've got him at 29 on the week. I have Zach Moss at 34.
I got to say, just because you brought him up, I have a feeling Tyson Williams is going to be hitting a lot of waiver wires this week. I'd say on Sunday morning, go pick him up for free and just stash him on a bench spot if you can. You can never have enough running backs. Injuries happen. He's a young player.
It makes zero sense why he is not active.
It makes zero sense. And here's the thing. These older running backs, you don't think they're going to have injuries as the season goes on? They might have to come back to Tyson sooner than later. And bye weeks are coming, just like winter. So just keep that in mind. So add him for nothing. Don't even wait for the waiver wire. Just pluck him off and stick him on your roster. Let's switch gears over here to the wide receivers, and let's start with the guys in the top 30 that we're just not feeling this week. Andrew, we'll start with you. Who is in the top 30 wide receiver that you're a little concerned in terms of what their potential productivity might be in week 5?
Well, I hit on him at the top, and it's Allen Robinson. And, you know, I was constructing my start sit article for PFF.com. I wrote about how I really felt that Allen Robinson had a higher fantasy value, at least in this game, if he had Andy Dalton under center. Because if you look at just the game splits, he has one game with double-digit targets. Week 1, Andy Dalton under center. Like, there's no coincidence that his fall-off has also coincided with a rookie quarterback that runs being under center. So I just think that there are some concerns about how Allen Robinson is going to operate. And I don't really love the matchup against the Bears. I won't hit on, you know, I kind of already mentioned how the Bears offense hasn't been throwing a ton. But and Darnell Mooney's kind of emerging as a legitimate threat to Allen Robinson's target share. But even in this matchup against the Raiders, again, the Raiders defense has been much better than we all kind of anticipated them being. They're always kind of like a punching bag. You would be pick on them, our offenses for fantasy. We always, oh, who's playing the Raiders? You want to start those guys. But the defense has been much better, especially because of their pass rush. Number one PFF graded pass rush unit this year. We saw what happened when the Bears got overwhelmed by a pass rush against the Cleveland Browns. They could not move the ball, and it was an awful outing for everyone involved. Like, the offense was just atrocious. And the reason and what that causes, because their pass rush is so good, it makes it really, really hard to complete passes down the field. So I know we look at Fields and we like him because he's more aggressive downfield, but Las Vegas has allowed just a 46 passer rating on targets of 20 plus air yards downfield, despite the fact that they faced the fifth most deep attempts. So it's not a scenario where they grade really well because it's a very small sample size. They're just really good because the quarterback is always under pressure whenever they're throwing deep. So the throws are more off target or more erratic. They don't have time to set themselves to make good throws down the field. So I could see Justin Fields running around for his life back there behind a not great Bears offensive line. I'm sure that Kyle can attest to the Bears offensive line woes. So if the offensive line is causing issues, then I think it's going to cause issues for Allen Robinson. I think, long-term, it should be Fields under center, which is good for Robinson, but this particular matchup, I still need to see it from Robinson. I need to see him get targets from Justin Fields, which has not happened yet, before I feel comfortable signing back in even as like a wide receiver 3, because as of right now, like we have a sample size of him with Fields, and he's been poop.
Yeah, look, don't make Yates depressed. He's so happy right now about the Justin Fields.
Sorry.
Don't talk about the offensive line of the Bears. It's a terrible thing. It ruined the good mood he's in. Who are you not in a good mood about, Yates, when it comes to the guys in the top 30 this week?
Yeah, so the guy, as I was looking through ECR, the one that jumped off the page to me is Courtland Sutton. And with Courtland Sutton, I want to play this little exercise out here. So if we remove the 159-yard performance against Jacksonville that he had, he had that, so we don't want to completely take that away, but for the purposes of this exercise, Sutton is averaging just 3 receptions for 33 yards and 0 touchdowns over the 3 other games this season. He has a quarterback downgrade with Drew Lock this week. As much optimism as there was for Drew Lock coming into the year, he is not better than Teddy Bridgewater. Now, he can push the ball deeper downfield, which could benefit Sutton, but there is a lot more risk here with Sutton than what is being led to believe. So it's a plus matchup against the Steelers wide receiver group, which I think plays a role in this here, but Sutton has appeal for me as a low-end wide receiver 3 rather than wide receiver 23, which he is currently in ECR. That feels like it's way too high for someone of Courtland Sutton's stature, where he is just averaging 3 receptions for 33 yards and no touchdowns throughout this entire year against, you know, with Drew Lock as his quarterback. I don't want to buy into that at that price tag.
For me, it's Tyler Boyd. Saw 11 targets, caught 9 of them last week. Loved the start last week with Higgins out against Jacksonville. But with Higgins trending, at least right now, in the right direction, if indeed he does play, I think Tyler Boyd's a guy that kind of gets pushed to the side. And you kind of saw that, too, because if you look at the point totals in the first couple weeks, it's not that you can't start him, it's just that you don't feel great about it. I mean, he finishes wide receiver 75, 41, and 28 over the first 3 weeks. Then Higgins is gone, and all of a sudden he jumps to wide receiver 12. Now, that's a great jump. You got your Tyler Boyd week. That's terrific. But I kind of fear he gets back into that second-class citizen realm, and he's I think 25 right now overall, week five ranking. So that's the guy that's a little concerning for me. But let's talk about the rest of the guys who are on the bubble. And we'll start with this group here, Yates. Kenny Golladay, Emmanuel Sanders, Michael Pittman Jr. I know you want to start him. Laviska Shenault, Jaylen Waddle, T. Higgins, and Devontae Parker. We talked about Devontae Parker earlier this week with that Will Fuller injury, Yates. Does Parker become a guy now that is more likely to be a good start for you under the circumstances?
He's actually been pretty consistent here recently, Devontae Parker has. So I think that he is now moving back into this territory where we definitely can look his way as a flex option. Again, don't want to get too crazy here and push him up the rankings too much. But in a game where he's going up against Tampa Bay, Miami won, like just decided to go away from the run game last week against the running back, or again, away from the running back who was actually doing good things on the football field, and Myles Gaskin. And then now they're going up against Tampa Bay. They're not going to even try to run the ball. And so they're going to throw it here. And I think that Devontae Parker can see enough targets to be a safe option. But with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, I just don't know what the upside is here. So Devontae Parker is one of these guys that he's sitting at wide receiver 40 in ECR. Like, you can start him and you can start him as a flex option, but I don't know what the upside is there. I think he just has like a safe floor. The other guy that I did want to talk about in this range, though, is Michael Pittman Jr. You mentioned it. Like, I'm looking to start Michael Pittman Jr. Yeah, of course I am. Just a little bit of a hunch. And I wanted to ask this. Did you know that Michael Pittman is tied for the third most inside the 10 targets this entire year in the entire NFL? Over the past 3 weeks, Pittman has now seen 32 targets and he's reeled in 20 of them for 250 receiving yards. He is the wide receiver 23 in fantasy football over that time frame, and he has scored zero touchdowns. The touchdowns are coming for a guy who is tied for the third most inside the 10 targets in the entire NFL. This is a tougher matchup up against Baltimore, so I don't know if that touchdown is coming necessarily here in this matchup, but he's been an extremely consistent option for fantasy football lineups up against defenses like the Los Angeles Rams, the Miami Dolphins. He is currently wide receiver 36 in ECR. He needs to be higher than that. I think he is a high-end wide receiver 3 this week.
All right, fair enough. What are your thoughts here on Parker too, Andrew? I wanted to get your thoughts. You can chime in on Pittman as well, or anybody else in that cluster of guys, but do you think Parker is just that safe floor as Yates is kind of alluding to?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, we only saw Parker really have a bad game when Will Fuller played a full game. Basically, we saw when Jacoby Brissett first stepped in, Parker was the leader in target share. It was only that one week three game where Parker kind of fell to the wayside when Fuller was active, and then Fuller obviously got hurt in week four, unexpectedly, of course, and Parker's targets jumped back up again. So 30% target share last week, 77 receiving yards, and then he gets the Bucs. Like, the Bucs, this is the pass funnel defense. Like, they don't have any corners. Again, I was at New England. I was at Gillette Stadium. I was watching Richard Sherman play cornerback. That dude cannot cover. Like, I'm sorry. Like, every time Jacoby Myers lined up on the right side, I'm like, guys, I'm like, Mac Jones, like, I'm trying to yell to Mac Jones, like, Mac, throw it to Richard Sherman.
Oh, I know. I was thinking the same thing sitting at home watch. And don't you think, Andrew, that the Bucs are sitting there going, man, if we just waited one more week, Stephon Gilmore might have been available? I mean, my goodness, just one more week. And Belichick stuck it to him, didn't he? It was like, hey, oh, you just signed Richard Sherman? Great. I'm going to wait till right after that signing, and then we'll get rid of
him to an NFC South opponent, a rival of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And then we'll get rid of Gilmore right after you sign Sherman. There we go. Just nice and easy. If you think that's a coincidence, it's not. Let's take a quick break from the action to tell you guys about Pristine Auction. That is the place to go for all the cool swag this football season. Helmets, footballs, jerseys, you like baseballs, you like bats, you like artwork, you like cool stuff that you want to bid on, Pristine Auction is the place to go. Head over to pristineauction.com. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And when you use that promo code FANTASYPROS, you get a $5 credit on us just to sign up. It's free to sign up. And there's $5 in your account just on us, and start bidding on all these amazing items they have. We're giving away a Kyler Murray football that's autographed. Guess what? That's where we got it, Pristine Auction. So go to pristineauction.com, get your bidding on, and get some cool stuff that you can put around your house this upcoming football season. Andrew, anybody else here on that cusp there of that wide receiver three group that you think has some start or appeal or maybe some sit concern?
Yeah, so two of the guys I like to start are... So T. Higgins, I see him at ECR 39. I expect that I'll probably move back up once we just get more confirmation of his health status. But I just want to mention that 28% target share during the first 2 weeks of the season. Like, he was the clear alpha for the Bengals passing game. So I like him a lot to kind of slide right back into the wide receiver two territory once we get news that he is good to go. And then the other guy I like is Laviska Shenault. And it's kind of for all the same reasons that you're off of Tyler Boyd this week, Joe. It's because, okay, we were removing a big piece of this Jaguars passing game with DJ Chark, who is now hurt, and he's been placed on injured reserve. And what we saw last week with Shenault was his target share spiked 17% to 29% in Chark's absence, and his role in the offense also changed dramatically. Like, he was used way more downfield. His average depth of target jumped from 5 to 13.4. So Shenault was just very frustrating because he was just catching dump off passes near the line of scrimmage. He couldn't really do that much with him. He couldn't accumulate any yardage unless he just broke off a big yards after the catch play. But now that he's actually seeing targets downfield, it significantly raises his fantasy value. And again, this Tennessee Titans defense has just been awful against wide receivers.
They have.
They've just been so bad.
Jet wide receivers look good last
exactly,
week.
Exactly. Right, yeah. And so, and Shenault, obviously, he operates from the slot, 82% slot snap rate this season, and the Titans rank 31st in passer rating allowed to targets to the slot receivers. Again, when there are three wide receivers in an offense, it's a lot tougher to kind of parse between, all right, who's going to get the targets here? But now it's just really just Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault, kind of more concentrated with Trevor Lawrence. I think we could see a solid game from the Jaguars passing attack here.
All right, Yates, let's go back to you here. When you get to the guys outside of that 40, when we get past Higgins and Parker, we get to Cole Beasley. We know where we feel about Mooney, then there's Robbie Anderson, Ruggs, Juju, you know, a couple guys outside. And then Crowder, another guy off the waiver wire. Is there anybody that really pops off to you that you feel like is a good start this week, perhaps at a flex spot?
Henry Ruggs definitely jumps off the page there as a guy who has continued to get the job done, and the public perception on him is lower, obviously, than where he has been producing. So I think with Henry Ruggs, the game plan here for the Las Vegas Raiders is going to be, let's get Hunter Renfrow the ball and let's get Henry Ruggs the ball. Of course, Darren Waller as well, but I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball as efficiently as they have been previously. And I think that they're going to be able to lean into their passing game in this matchup for Henry Ruggs, who has just continued, like I said, continued to get the job done. So he is someone that I definitely look in this range and will consider for my starting lineups because of his upside.
All right, so there's a starter. Let's see if we can find a sitter here, because we got to go out to the movies tonight. We need a sitter. So tell me here, Andrew, is there somebody at 40 or after that you don't feel comfortable about starting this week?
I'm going with the Beasles, Cole Beasley for the Buffalo Bills. It's really weird because his perception about Cole Beasley is he's like the safe slot receiver, like, you know, give me my 4 for 40 every single week, it'd be great. But he's been really erratic so far this year. He has two games with 13 or more targets and then two games with 4 or fewer targets. So he's kind of been all over the place. And I don't know if I love the matchup here against the Kansas City Chiefs specifically for him. Again, we love, you know, the entire Bills offense for the most part because this game has a very high projected total. It's probably going to shoot out. The Chiefs defense has just been atrocious across the board. But the one area of the field that they've actually been good at in defending has actually been the slot. Legarius Sneed has been one of the better slot corners. It's his second year in the league. He's actually allowing the fifth lowest coverage yards per snap so far the season, so it's a tougher matchup for Cole Beasley for him to really pick up yardage from inside the Bills' offensive formation. And he also saw his routes run per dropback decrease significantly last week, you know, down to 63%, because I think we're starting to see guys like Emmanuel Sanders, guys like Dawson Knox, like these guys are emerging as legitimate threats in this offense, whereas last year, you know, it was obviously Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley for the most part. It was really those only two guys because John Brown missed so much time due to injuries. So with more mouths to feed in this Bills passing game, I think Cole Beasley's kind of falling to the wayside a little bit. Again, this isn't, I know that Cole Beasley's not everyone's favorite player to play in fantasy anyway, but I know that, you know, he is a guy that people rely on in PPR formats, but I just don't know if we're going to see the same type of consistent floor that we saw from him last year nearly as often.
All right, let's head to the game then. It's time to who should I start? Let's start with Robbie Anderson of Carolina Panthers at home against Philadelphia, or Juju Smith-Schuster versus Denver. Boy, oh boy, two guys that we thought were safe and okay heading into the season. has not gone well for either of these guys. Yates, who should I start, Juju or Robbie Anderson?
It was so funny. Yes, on yesterday's podcast, I talked about Juju Smith-Schuster, and I said, if he has one more down game, I'm going to be very close to just dropping him. And now I was fading Juju Smith-Schuster coming into the year, so I have him on zero rosters, but which feels actually pretty good right now. But if he, like, that would be the perception, right? Is like, if he has another down game here, I'm just dropping him. And then Matt Friedman, our guest, was like, I'm dropping him. Like, I am just completely dropping him because of the way that Big Ben's arm looks. He got 8 targets, 2 receptions. Like, it can't get worse than that for Juju Smith-Schuster. And Robbie Anderson, like, he's bouncing back. He's seen his target totals increase. Now, he wasn't efficient last week, but I do think that I want to lean into at least that better offense. This seems crazy to say, but guys, I'm going to trust Sam Darnold over Ben Roethlisberger at this point of their careers.
It does not sound crazy at all to me. I'm with you. Andrew, is it 3 for 3?
Yeah, I mean, they both saw a lot of targets last week, but the fact that Juju was 2 for 11 on 8 gross targets, at least Robbie Anderson got 11 targets and got like 50 receiving yards, and the quarterback play is just, it's night and day at this point. You know, Big Ben has showed that he can support Diontae Johnson or whoever the number one wide receiver is and his running back, and that's pretty much it.
There's also the possibility that Ben doesn't even play in this game, and we turn to like Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins. Like, yeah,
maybe that's not for the worst. Who knows?
Can it get any worse? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Maybe. We'll see. Let's talk about the guys in Arizona. AJ Green or Rondell Moore against the 49ers. They are at home. Andrew, we'll start with you. Both these guys, let's say you got them both. Who do you want to start?
My heart says Rondell Moore, but the spreadsheets say AJ Green. That's all I'm saying, because it's so hard to argue with, okay, AJ Green is tied with DeAndre Hopkins for target share in this offense. Like, he's playing on 88% of the team dropbacks. Like, Rondell Moore is running a route on like 40% and is not playing nearly as much. So just based on opportunity, I know AJ Green has a significantly higher chance of just scoring more fantasy points. I mean, he's seen 6 targets in every single game he's played, whereas Rondell Moore is way more boom or bust. Like, he has an extremely high target rate per route run. He's just not running a lot of routes. So that's the big issue with Rondell Moore. So I think it really is a floor ceiling type of move, depending on what your roster is. I think if you want to shoot for the ceiling, and we saw Rondell Moore obviously have a blow up game already this year, I say Rondell Moore. But if you're just, hey, I just need to fill in, you know, get 8 to 10 fantasy points, I think AJ Green's probably your guy.
Yates, how about for you? Is it the heart of the spreadsheet? Is it Green or Moore?
Yeah, it's AJ Green for me. And it does come down to like what Andrew mentioned. Like, it depends on what you need. If you need the swing for the fences play, you know, depending on what happens here on Thursday Night Football and you have some key players that don't come through or whatever, then you're able to say, okay, I need a swing for the fences. I'll go with Rondale Moore, but you could come up empty handed there. AJ Green, I think, at least brings a safe floor, 6 targets every single game that he's played this year. And then I talked about Michael Pittman Jr. earlier, tied for the 3rd most inside the 10 targets. Do you know who he's tied with? It's AJ Green. AJ Green has is tied for the 3rd most inside the 10 targets this year. So the opportunity is there for AJ Green, not only to be a deep downfield threat like we saw in week 4, but then also to find, you know, to be utilized in the red zone.
All right, let's switch gears here and talk about the quarterback position here. Top 12 guys, obviously, pretty strong group. The only guy that I can pick out just of concerns, and I don't think I could sit him, is Justin Herbert. He's played so well this year. I want to give him so much credit because I was really skeptical going into this season on Herbert, but even against a tough defense like Cleveland, I have a hard time benching him this week. Andrew, when it comes to somebody in the top 12, is there somebody you're a little concerned with at the very least when it comes to the quarterback position?
It's Russell Wilson against the Rams. Like, guys, we see this every single year with Russell Wilson against the Rams. He just doesn't ever play well against them. Okay, and that's not necessarily true. He's had a couple.
I got like Sid the Sloth vibes with that. Like, they do this to me every year.
But he's had a couple good games against the Rams. I believe like 2 years ago, he threw like 4 touchdown passes against the Los Angeles Rams. But with Wilson, there's just, the matchup is not favorable. Again, we know that the Rams have a really good defense, and the way that Wilson's been operating, he's been uber efficient, as he always is. You know, he's performed over expectation more than any other quarterback, you know, but his expected fantasy points per game are 13.6, which ranks 29th at the position. So it's like, if he doesn't have an uber efficient game, he's going to bust for fantasy and not be a QB1. And if we're trying to project, okay, like, he's going to have a couple down games here and there, like he does every single season. So why wouldn't it be the one where it's against a opponent in defense that he annually struggles against basically every single year in the Los Angeles Rams? So again, you know, last year in the 2 games, he didn't pass 250 passing yards in either game, and he threw 1 touchdown pass. in two games against the Rams. So I get that it's a different defensive scheme, but a lot of the players are still the same. So I just have big concerns about Russ. I mean, he's been, you know, really not an elite quarterback so far this year. I mean, he's had a couple smash spots, you know, against the Titans, against the 49ers, banged up secondary last week. And you're kind of just like, he's like a back end quarterback one. So I get that he's kind of ranked in that ECR range, but now that he's actually probably facing the toughest defense so far, I just don't think that, you know, I don't think it's really going to be a ceiling week for us.
So maybe with those guys, you look to your flex spot for a little bit more boom. Who do you think has a little bust in them when it comes to the top 12 quarterbacks Yates this week?
I'm definitely not moving him outside of my top 12, but we got to talk about Tom Brady. Weather definitely played a part in his performance here on Sunday Night Football. The field was just soaking wet, but after throwing for 9 touchdowns and 655 yards in the first two games of the season, Brady has now just thrown one touchdown pass in the past two games combined. In a matchup now against the Miami Dolphins defense, it's allowing just 20.8 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. I think we should at least be concerned about Brady for fantasy purposes, because with a guy like Wilson, you know, he brings at least some mobility to his game. Even though he didn't have a fantastic statistical performance last week, he was able to take that and get that rushing touchdown. That's not going to happen for Brady unless they're at the 1 yard line and he sneaks it in. So, and I think if the projected, like Vegas consistently gives Tampa Bay a crazy high implied point total. And so when you sit down to do projections and the spreadsheets and everything like that, Brady always comes out as a very, very high performer just because the running game doesn't do anything here in Tampa Bay traditionally. So you got to give the touchdowns to the receiving weapons. Well, it hasn't happened here the past couple of weeks. So I have concerns about Brady, at least in this matchup, and at least based on what we've seen here the past couple of weeks. I've got him as a low end QB1 this week.
I definitely think there's some volatility when it comes to Brady. I think it's going to go one of two ways. Either this is a breath of fresh air that all of this stuff with the New England game is over finally and all the emotions that ran high, or this is a big letdown because of all the tension and maybe they come out a little flat. It's going to be one of those two things. But either way, it's very tough to sit Tom Brady, especially against the Dolphins. And you know what? The other thing, you know, you keep in mind also, you know, historically, Miami Dolphins have given him some trouble. I mean, as a Patriots fan, Erickson, you know this. This is certainly something to consider. Let's talk about the guys on the fringe of QB1. After Herbert this week, we have Trey Lance, Joe Burrow, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones. I'm sure we could throw Justin Fields now into this mix as well. Andrew, of those guys, who do you think is the best start of the week?
I really like Joe Burrow. I've loved what I've seen out of him the past 2 weeks, especially that he's been doing it without T. Higgins. You look at his numbers, 92 PFF passing grade, 10.4 yards per attempt, 135 passer rating, 78% completion percentage. Those all rank first or second among all quarterbacks over the past 2 weeks. He's been doing it without his best wide receiver, in my opinion, in T. Higgins. So he's been absolutely balling out. He balled out against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He had his best fantasy output because he was actually facing a favorable matchup. He had a lot of tough matchups to open the year. Now he gets Green Bay, who is 29th in touchdown rate allowed through the air. So I love Joe Burrow this week. I think that we're going to see an uptick in passing. They've been a very conservative offense so far this year with Joe Mixon. They've basically just been feeding Joe Mixon. And if he's not available, I don't think we're just going to copy and paste. Okay, well, all the volume we gave to Joe Mixon, I'm just going to give to Samaje Perine. I don't anticipate that being. Obviously, coaches can do weird things. But last year, we saw this team just throw and throw and throw and throw. So it is in the coach's playbook that they have that designed to be a pass heavy offense. And now that they're getting back a major part of that passing game, they're losing a part of the running game. It can only make sense in my head, at least, that they would unleash Joe Burrow a little bit, especially based on him looking so much better after coming back from the injury, him finally playing well, being healthy. The offensive line is starting to get into a groove. So I really like Joe Burrow this week.
All right, let's talk about the guys on the fringe for Superflex, that QB3 ish range. You got Baker Mayfield against the Chargers. You got Mac Jones coming off, a very fine performance under all those circumstances. Zach Wilson against the Atlanta Falcons, tempting off of his best start so far of his pro career. Jacoby Brissett, Goff, Winston, Wentz. I won't even mention Roethlisberger. Of those guys here, Yates, who for you stands out as a good start?
Justin Fields is definitely at the top of the list just based on his upside. And now that we do not have David Montgomery, I do think Damian Williams is going to step in and he's going to handle the workload just fine. But we could see him throw the ball more than he has had to over the past couple of weeks. And now that we know that he's the starter moving forward, I think that we could see him evade that pass rush a little bit too, like Andrew mentioned, and pick up some yardage, which we know that he can do with his legs. So Fields is the most tempting there. Otherwise, I think that if you are in a pinch, like, Baker, I have zero confidence in Baker after what I saw this past week. Like, he could have had such a big performance. Odell Beckham Jr. could have been the wide receiver one on the week. But Baker, man, just did not look in sync there. He struggled this past week. And then, but Jacoby Brissett, I think, is someone that you can put into your lineup and you can at least feel comfortable that you're going to get low end QB2 production and maybe upside if there is garbage time production as well. So again, you throw on Tampa Bay, you don't run the ball. And I think that there's enough there for Jacoby Brissett to at least return that value. Otherwise, Mac Jones is the only other guy that I wanted to talk about here really quick. There is the potential that Mac Jones finishes as a top, I'll say top 15, just based on the matchup. But there's also the potential that he finishes outside the top 30 based on the running game taking over here, and Mac Jones could throw, you know, zero touchdowns. If that is the case, then with no rushing upside, there's a wide range of outcomes here with Mac Jones. That's all I want to say.
No, that is fair. There definitely is, and you would imagine that Harris gets a lot more play in this game than
Love
he did last
Harris
one.
This week.
Yeah, I think we all do. We'll get to him in a second. Spoiler alert, it's coming. But still, when you're talking about some of these guys on the fringe, when you were talking about Baker Mayfield, it's funny because last week on the DFS show, we pinpointed that, Chris Meany and I, on the this is your four outcome game runaway. This could be a smash on either side or some kind of gross like 16-10 game. Guess what? That's what it ended up being, and that's why you kind of stay away from it, because when you see the variables in a game, especially from a daily fantasy standpoint, it's very different. Even a season long, you have to look into it a little bit and say, okay, there's some things that can maybe go in a different direction. When it comes to Superflex, what's going in the right or the wrong direction for you for some of these quarterbacks, Andrew?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely on not wanting to play Baker Mayfield. I know I have. And actually, in the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Invitational, which I think Kyle and me are both 0-4. So shout out to us,
yeah.
Kyle.
We're doing
absolutely great over there. So I have Justin Fields and Baker Mayfield.
You guys, you guys built teams for the future. This was your is a dynasty league.
We'll
you
go with that.
You're
we'll
running out teams. Yeah.
Sure. So I have Justin Fields and Baker Mayfield as my quarterback two. Like, I've been kind of deciding between those two guys. So I'm going to go with Fields over Mayfield, even though I don't like them. I don't love the Raiders matchup. It's just Baker Mayfield was just, he's just been this absolutely brutal last week. You know, he just could not find OBJ. And I don't get like why he can be accurate towards like Jarvis Landry, but you just put OBJ wearing 13 out there and he just suddenly can't hit the guy on the numbers. So the other quarterback I do want to mention though, and someone that I wish I had over Justin Fields, at least for this week, Trevor Lawrence. So with Trevor Lawrence, again, we talked about the matchup a little bit with the Tennessee Titans, just terrible pass defense. And Trevor Lawrence, one thing that he showed me in Thursday night's loss against Cincinnati Bengals is he's running a lot more, and it's design rushing attempts that I'm really excited about. Again, he rushed 8 times for 36 yards, and he was actually used in the read option 5 times. So the previous 3 weeks, he only used the read option 3 times. So it was a game plan stylistic move to use him more in that light. So I like his rushing upside, which we have yet to see from Justin Fields at this point. Like, we know he can run, we can do it, but like the Bears are just have been reluctant to actually use him on design runs so far. Whereas at least in Jacksonville's case, I saw it on TV on Thursday night. I saw him using the read option and taking off and running. So he obviously had a rushing touchdown as well. So I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be able to move the ball. Titans allow the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks entering week 4. I mean, Zach Wilson had like a decent game against Tennessee Titans. So, I mean, I know he's looked really shaky. So I like Trevor Lawrence as a middle and QB2 in Superflex leagues.
Yates, who should I start? Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields?
I will go with Trevor Lawrence there as well. I like the matchup. And again, like Andrew mentioned, he's finally being utilized as a runner, which again, like same thing with James Robinson. We probably should have been able to do this from the beginning and say you use
Baby
James
steps.
Robinson. Yeah. you use James Robinson over Carlos Hyde and you get Trevor Lawrence out on the move. You know, it kind of makes sense. But Urban Meyer is slow on the uptake there. So I think, yeah, Trevor Lawrence in this matchup, I think, is the guy that you go with here. I'd like Justin Fields moving forward, but I'll give the slight edge there to Lawrence.
Well, yeah, the NFL season is a grind for a new head coach. Just gonna leave that out there. Let's move on to the tight end position. Obviously, you need as many tight ends as you can find right now because it's tough out there. We just got Logan Thomas now, gonna miss 4 weeks, so that's another guy who's out. Look, guys, if there's anyone you're collectively fading in the upper tier at least, or a team, Andrew, who is that person before we even get to the guys that we actually want to start on the fringe?
For me, it's Dallas Goedert because he's basically the carbon copy of Zach Ertz, basically where that they're used. You know, Zach Ertz's ECR, I think, in the 20s, and Dallas Goedert is up at 11 or 12. And if you just look at their numbers, it's all the same. Like the routes run is basically the same. Target share, actually Ertz has a higher target share, 12% versus 11%. You know, target rate per route run is Ertz has 18%, Goddard's at 16. Air yard share, Ertz has 12% and Goddard has 9%. Again, basically you're just hoping that one of these guys catches a touchdown. And the fact that there's two of them makes it less likely that the one that you want actually ends up scoring the touchdown. So Goddard found pay dirt last week, which is why he was a good fantasy start. And I know that he's the more talented tight end of the two, but he doesn't have a stranglehold on the tight end one job in this offense. Like, they use both of them so frequently, and Hurts doesn't necessarily always project to throw a ton. I mean, they've been throwing a lot in Philadelphia, so I think that volume's not as much of a concern, but I just, you know, Dallas Goedert is like a back-end tight end one every single week. I'm just like, but why? So why isn't Ertz ranked up there too? Or like, I feel like the gap needs to be closer to them. And I think there are actual waiver wire tight ends that I actually like more than Goddard because they're their clear tight end one on their offense.
Yates, do you agree with the sentiments that Andrew's sharing about the Eagles tight end situation?
Absolutely. It comes down to Dallas Goedert can still be a fantasy relevant option and he's still worth considering, but the gap in ECR where Goddard is all the way up at tight end 12 or wherever he is and Ertz is in the 20s, like, that shouldn't be the case. I've got Zach Ertz currently at tight end 15 on the week, Dallas Goedert at tight end 16. Like, these guys are back to back just based on usage, and where they're not going to get to play Kansas City every single week where Jalen Hurts is throwing for 387 passing yards against them. So that's not always going to be the case, and that means volume concerns there for Dallas Goedert.
Yates, Hunter Henry last week had a pretty decent game. Should we be chasing that in PPR? Do you think Hunter Henry, is worthy of a start?
He is in this matchup up against Houston. Like, this is about as good as it gets. So when I talk about Mac Jones potentially having this wide range of outcomes, I talk about he could have two or three touchdowns, or he could finish with zero if they all go to Damian Harris, whatever the case may be. I think that there's a very good chance that the touchdowns go to the tight ends like they did again, like they did last week. So Hunter Henry, I've got at 14 on the week. I think that you definitely can be looking his way.
All right, Andrew, who should I start? Robert Tonyan against the Cincinnati Bengals with the Packers playing at home, or Jonnu Smith on the road against the Houston Texans?
I'm going with Jonnu Smith. Again, Yates hit on the matchup. It's basically the best matchup under the sun. Houston Texans, second most fantasy points allowed to the tight end position. And Jonnu Smith, yes, he's not playing a lot of snaps. He's down like in the 30% range. Hunter Henry's over 65%. But when Jonnu Smith is on the field, they are targeting him a lot. That's the good thing about him. 32% target rate per route run, which is 11 points higher than Rob Gronkowski, who ranks second in that metric, 23%. So yes, it's sad that Smith is not playing more on the Patriots offense, but when he is on the field, they are featuring him and Mac Jones is looking his way. So because the matchup is really, really good against the Houston Texans, Jonnu Smith will have opportunities to catch the ball, get targets, and I think that he'll find the end zone. So I like Jonnu Smith. Whereas Robert Tonyan, look, people are still attached to Robert Tonyan from being that guy from last year where he was attached to the league leader in passing touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers. But guys, it's 2021. Like, Aaron Rodgers is experiencing touchdown regression, and go figure, it's happening to Robert Tonyan too. So I think that we need to readjust. I mean, I've had Robert Tonyan ranked outside the top 20 tight ends for like every single week this week. And so far I've been right 3 out of 4 times because he's been outside the top 40 tight ends.
Right.
In 3 or 4 weeks when he didn't score a touchdown. So I don't understand why you're chasing Tonyan anymore when the guy who's throwing the ball is not throwing in nearly as many touchdowns as he was last year. So Tonyan, I again have him outside my top 20. He's at ECR 4, tight end 15. And that's just, I'm not playing that guy. I put him as a sit every single week in my article. And it just seems like, well, sit Robert Tonyan again, because it's the same scenario. It's like the same exact thing.
Yeah, he is ranked number 15 on tight ends. Jonnu 16. Tyler Conklin is 14. Yates, Tyler Conklin or Robert Tonyan, who should I start?
I have Tonyan currently at 17. I have Tyler Conklin at 18. It just they all fall into the same bucket. It's like, which one's going to get the touchdown? Because that's the guy that's going to finish as a top 10 option at the tight end position. That's just the way that it is. So Tunyon's still seeing plenty of targets. It's just not translating to production. I think 14 total yards over the last 2 weeks. So if you are playing Tonyan, it's a touchdown or bust option. Tyler Conklin at least is getting involved, but I think that he needs that touchdown as well to push into the top 12.
All right, let's go to our favorite starts and sits of the week. I will kick things off here. My favorite start of the week is Damian Harris against the Houston Texans. I know last week we told you it was going to be terrible, and it was terrible. Don't worry, he's going to be fresh this week to run amok against the Houston Texans. So get him back in your lineup. And my sit is definitely Myles Gaskin. It was not a good week last week, And now you got the Buccaneers coming in. Gross. Terrible. You can't start him. If you do, you have a death wish for your team and you're just asking for a loss. Please don't do it. This is a public service announcement and I approve this message. Erickson, let's start with you. Who's your must start and must sit of the week?
Going to start Damian Williams, running back for the Chicago Bears. And I'm going to sit Brandon
Robert
Ayuk.
Tunyon. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to sit.
I'm sitting Brandon Ayuk. I know we haven't talked about him, but I can't do this Kyle Shanahan thing. I don't know what's happening. Like, he's in the doghouse. He's out of the doghouse. He's back in. He's back out. Like, come on, man. So I'm not trusting Brandon Ayuk, especially with now that we have a rookie quarterback making his potential first start. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Ayuk could be playing freaking running back. I don't know. It's just, I'm out on Brandon Ayuk for right now. I got to see something consistent from him, because all I've seen is like encouraging routes run from him, but he's yet to, his target rate is 9%. His target rate per route run is 12%, which ranks bottom five among all players this year with at least 10 targets. So even when he's on the field, they're not looking his way. Whoever at quarterback, it's the Debo Samuel show, it's the George Kittle show. Mm-hmm. And last year he was only really productive when those guys missed time. So until one of those guys gets hurt, then I think Ayuk is someone that you just got to leave on the bench until we see more.
The spreadsheets never lie, Andrew. They just don't lie to you. Yates, who is your must start and must sit for week five?
Let's stay on brand here. Let's go with Michael Pittman Jr. at the wide receiver position. I'd mentioned him as tied for the third most inside the 10 targets in the NFL. 250 receiving yards over the last 3 weeks. The touchdowns are coming. So Michael Pittman Jr. belongs in your lineup every single week moving forward as a high-end wide receiver three with upside if those touchdowns do start to connect. For me, sitting, it's Miles Sanders. Now, Miles Sanders, 15 touches over the last 2 weeks, currently at running back 25 in ECR. I get that it's Miles Sanders. I get that he is incredibly talented. And I get that there are not many other options here at the running back position that we can feel comfortable ranking above him, but he has not been productive here. He is starting to potentially lose this job to Kenneth Gainwell. I have zero confidence in him. He is a mid-range running back three at best for me this week.
A lot of the Miles Sanders owners are certainly wistful for the days of Doug Peterson at this point, it feels like. It's never thought I'd say that, but here we are at week five. Real quick, boys, Thursday Night Football, Rams at Seahawks, very important in-division game. Robert Woods, I want to talk about him real fast. So very commanding last week about get Woods back in your lineup. He finished as wide receiver 26 and half PPR. That's good. He caught four of his six targets. He did have the late touchdown, kind of made up for things. I know it was shaky there for a while, but in the end, it all worked out by the skin of our teeth. Are we going back into this dance again here with Robert Woods, Yates?
Yeah, I think that we definitely can. As a low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three, Sean McVay coming out saying that we got to get this guy more opportunities. That was good for my soul. I needed that. Robert Woods, I think definitely in this game, like, you play a lot of the options in this game with a 54.5 over-under last time that I saw. So I think this game is going to be a shootout. You want to play the pieces in it. So yeah, Robert Woods definitely as a low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three this week.
Erickson, how do you approach the Seattle running back situation right now?
Well, I just want to mention on Robert Woods, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease, but in the case of Bobby Trees, he gets the fertilizer. So Robert Woods.
Wow, you were saving that this entire hour.
Yeah, you were
hour.
Saving that one.
And you know you what? Know it. You know what? It was worth it. Thank you. That was awesome.
100%. When it comes to Seattle running backs, you're going to start Chris Carson. If he's active and healthy, he should be. But I would just, you know, I don't think that he's gonna have to find the end zone because he's not been involved in the passing game a lot this season so far. And Alex Collins has looked, you know, decent when he's been out there. You know, he's doing that Irish step dance. He scored a touchdown. He's doing his thing. So especially with Carson coming in banged up after, you know, with a neck injury, we'll see how much volume he gets in this matchup. But I'm not super excited about Carson.
All right. Make sure you step dance your way over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook to get the start sit assistant to help you set all of your lineups and all of your leagues. And don't forget not only about the start sit assistant, but also the autopilot feature to help you set your lineups when you cannot. I also want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Air Medcare Network. Make sure you visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that promo code fantasypros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And no one should live without cool stuff from Pristine Auction, too. Head over to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Use that promo code FANTASYPROS when you sign up. And when you do, you get a $5 credit on us. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.